Galatians chapter 4, verse number 1 says this, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world." Verse number 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Verse number 6, "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Let's pray. Lord, I come to you tonight. Lord, I do pray that you bless in a special way. Lord, I do pray that you would help me. Lord, I pray that you would give me strength. Lord, I pray that you would give me the words to say tonight. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit power would come down and meet with us. Lord, I don't want this time to be in vain. Lord, I don't want this time to just be tradition, Lord, ritual for us. Lord, I want you to do something in our hearts. Lord, I want to be an encouragement, Lord, through this particular passage of Scripture and this particular truth tonight to these folks. And Lord, I do pray that you'd bless in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go ahead and get right into the message tonight. And I think I've said this the last probably three, I think I've preached here three times before tonight. And I think every single time I've said this before, I said, I don't preach very long. Well, every time that I've done that, I've preached 40-something minutes. And so I'm not going to say that. And we'll see if we can get out of here a little bit earlier than that tonight. But the truth is, I don't preach very long over at Victory. I preach 30 to 35 minutes average. I don't know what's going to happen tonight. We'll see. But anyway, let me go ahead and get into the message, though. When we get saved, something very amazing happens to us. And you guys understand that. You know that. You've sat under Pastor Jerry long enough and all these other folks long enough, Grandpa Ross and the other ones. When we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we automatically receive eternal life in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. All of our sins are forgiven and covered by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God moves inside of us and takes up residence in our life forever. There's something else, though, very wonderful that happens the moment that we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. When we get saved, we become a member of the family of God through something called adoption. We read a passage of Scripture here from Galatians chapter 4 a few minutes ago where Paul talks about that very thing. Now, don't miss this. Paul talks about how that when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, we are immediately adopted into the family of God. We immediately become one of God's children. Look again at Galatians chapter 4, verse 3. It says this, "Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." It's talking before salvation. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." When we get saved, God adopts us into his family, and we become one of God's children. I'm starting to get excited, all right? I love that thought, man. I tell you what, you know what? My dad is Gerald Claney. I'm named after my dad, by the way, for those that don't know. My dad is Gerald Claney, but you know what? He's not the only father that I have, all right? When I got saved, God became my heavenly father, and I love that, all right? When we get saved, God adopts us into his family. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this side. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Tonight, we're going to do very quickly go through this particular truth of adoption. And I pray tonight, here's what I want to happen tonight. I want us to leave here with a greater appreciation of the fact that we are the children of God. That's simple. It's just an encouragement type of message tonight. I'm going to give you an introductory statement, though, before we begin. And then we'll give you the message, right? Here's the introductory statement. Adoption, and this will be kind of about a three-minute teaching part here, right? Adoption is one of the four basic doctrines of salvation. All right, now follow me right here. There are four main core doctrines. When you talk about salvation, there's basically four things that happen, all right? Let me give you those four things real quick, all right? Number one, regeneration takes place. Number two, justification takes place. Number three, sanctification takes place. And number four, adoption takes place, all right? So when we get saved, all four of those things happen. Now, I know we just use some big words in church, all right? It's not that bad, all right? I'll tell you what they mean real quick, all right? Number one, regeneration took place. That means that I have a new nature, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Then number two, justification takes place. I love that. That basically means that I have a changed standing before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says this, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Number three, then sanctification takes place. That is where we have a changed character. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The songs I used to sing, I don't sing them anymore. I've got a changed character. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 says this, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified. I'm not the same person that I was. I don't do the things that I used to do. We talked this morning over at Victory Baptist Church. I preach a message called There's a Song in My Heart Today. I don't sing the same things I used to sing. I don't go the same places I used to go. I got to change character. Then number four, adoption takes place, and that gives us a changed position before God. John chapter 1 verse 11 says this, He came into His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so we have a changed position when we stand before God. When we get saved, we are born again into the family of God. That means we have a changed position, all right? And but listen, folks, I want to get into the adoption thing here. What is this adoption thing? Brother Gerald, this spiritual adoption, what happens? How does it work? What happens? What are the benefits of it? We're going to look at some of these things tonight, all right? Let me give you point number one tonight. Point number one is this. The word adoption means the placing of a son. The word adoption means the placing of a son. Look back at Galatians chapter 4 verse number 5. Galatians chapter 4 verse number 5 says this, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Look at verse 7 now. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. It is the placing of a son. That basically means that, you know what? God voluntarily, when I got saved, when I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God voluntarily took me from my previous father, and He became then my heavenly Father. It is the placing of a son, all right? Do you guys understand tonight that before our salvation, before the day that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, before that day, our father was the devil? Do you guys understand that? All right, listen to this verse, John chapter 8. Jesus here is talking to a group of unconverted Pharisees. John chapter 8, verse 42, Jesus says this, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Verse 43, he says this, Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. By the way, young people, you know what? There ain't no truth in the devil. All right, all these lies that he's telling you right now, you know what? There ain't no truth in him at all. I mean, at all. You know what? He might show you 99% truth, but you know what? He might try to twist that truth, but you know what? It ain't no truth. It's a lie straight from the pits of hell. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So before salvation, we were of our father, the devil, but adoption, when salvation took place, we became adopted. That means that God took us from our father, the devil, and he became our heavenly father. We have a new father, if you will, all right? Let me give you the next thing tonight, number two. The process of adoption. We're just understanding this spiritual adoption thing. Number one, we looked at the meaning of adoption. It's the placing of a son. It means that now I'm no longer under my father, the devil. I am now under the Father, the Heavenly Father, God the Father. Number two, the process of adoption. Brother Gerald, how does this adoption thing take place? Is it a one-time thing that happens at salvation? Is it something that happens over a lifetime? How does it work? What happens with it? All right? Now, don't miss this statement here. The process of adoption is threefold. The process of adoption is threefold. In other words, there are three steps to adoption. You got step one. Then when step one's accomplished, move to step two. Then when step two is accomplished, move to step three. That's when it's finished, all right? Letter A. Let me give you the process of adoption. Letter A. Adoption began, first of all, in the mind of God. Adoption began, first of all, in the mind of God. God's love for us before the foundation of the world originated His plan of adoption for mankind, all right? Hey, listen, folks, God looked down through time, and you know what? He saw how Adam would sin against Him. You know what? He looked even further down through time, and you know what? He saw how you and I would sin against Him. And you know what? He did not want us to have to pay for our sin debt in hell. He wanted to give us a plan out of that. And you know what? He originated this plan of adoption where we could be forgiven of our sins and placed into his family. He originated that in his own mind. Let me give you the verses here. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 says this: according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Before the world was ever created, folks, you know what? God adopted every single person. He pre-adopted, if you will, every single person who would put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He made it evident. He just said, hey, any single person that puts their faith and trust, you know what? They will become part of my family. He originated that plan in his mind. Letter B, let me give you this, the second process of adoption, the second step. Letter B, then adoption is, now this is very important. Listen to the wording here. It took me about 35 or 40 minutes just to form this sentence here. Adoption then is initiated individually when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Adoption then is initiated individually when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So adoption, first of all, was originated in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. He said, hey, anybody that puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are adopted automatically. They're adopted into my family. Letter B, then adoption takes place with us. It's initiated with us when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Here's the verse. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says this: behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. All right, it's originated in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Number two, it's initiated individually when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is adoption, though, finalized when we get saved? No, it's not. Step number three, all right? There's another step coming. Letter C, let me give you the third process here, the third step of adoption here. Letter C, the adoption process will be completed at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 8. Take your Bible and turn back a few pages to Romans chapter 8. You guys all right tonight? It's hot up here. I'm big, man. I'm always hot. I'm always sweating. Man, it could be the middle of winter. I could be outside with jeans and a t-shirt and I'm sweating, all right? It's all right. I'm good, all right? Letter C, the adoption process will be completed at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. My wife's still not come back in here. I guess Julia was throwing a fit, beating up people in the nursery. Letter C, all right? The adoption process will be completed when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Romans chapter 8, all right? This is when we're going to receive the inheritance and the likeness of our family. We're going to receive our glorified bodies. We'll receive our place of residence in heaven. We'll receive the fullness of joy when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. But listen, folks, adoption will be completed at this time as well. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I pay very close attention here. We said that our adoption as the children of God will only be complete when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Think about that as we read down through this passage. And man, I tell you what, this will excite you. If you're truly saved, man, this passage right here is on fire, all right? Romans chapter 8, verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together up until now. Folks, that's happening right now. All right. Verse number 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves. Look what it says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Listen, folks, you know what? Is adoption complete when we get saved? Absolutely not. You know what? It was originated when in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. It was initiated individually when we got saved. But you know what? It ain't going to be complete till the Lord Jesus Christ splits that eastern sky. You know what? We're going to receive our glorified bodies. You say, Brother Gerald, I wish you'd go ahead and get your glorified body. I know my wife says that too, but that ain't the way it works, all right? You'll have to take that up to God with God when you get up there, right? But listen, folks, you know what? In the world, you know what? The believer is not recognized as a child of God. But in the day of the resurrection, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says we shall be like him. We're going to have the Lord Jesus Christ, his image stamped upon us. So adoption is not a one-time event that takes place at the time of salvation. Adoption is a threefold process that began before the foundation of the world in the mind of God. It was initiated individually the day that we get saved. It is then completed when the Lord Jesus Christ returns in the eastern sky and takes us home to heaven. First of all, we looked at the meaning of adoption. Second of all, we looked at the process of adoption. Number three, let me give you this. And this is where it's going to get fun, all right? Number three, the benefits of adoption. The benefits of adoption. There's a couple down in Kentucky that I know. Their name is the Barkley family. Michael and Jenny Barkley are the two sons. Or the two sons. Jenny's a son. No, Jenny ain't a son. Jenny's a daughter. But they have Mike and Jane. They have a son and daughter, Michael and Jenny. They then adopted several kids. I think four or five different kids. They adopted them. I've known the family for years. Those children that they adopted, four or five, I don't know how many it was, when those children became part of that Barkley family, they began receiving some benefits. They took them to the store. Many of these children, I think most of the children, if not all of them, came from very bad home situations. I mean, listen, folks, a father and mother didn't love them. Father and mother split up. I mean, listen, abuse and different things, all right? But listen, folks, when those children became part of that family, the Barkley family, hey, listen, they took them to the Walmart, and they got them some new clothes. They provided three meals a day for them. They provided a roof over their head. They provided love for them. They took them to church. They gave them a Christian education. They homeschooled them. All these different things. Or benefits now that those children have become part of a good, loving Christian family. Brother Gerald, what happens? What kind of things do we receive when we are adopted by God? What kind of things happen since we are now an adopted son of God? Now listen, folks, you might have to hold on to your seat, all right? Let me give you several statements here. I think seven statements here, seven benefits that we have as an adopted child of God. Number one, understand that the adopted child has the same benefits as the only begotten Son of God. Did you hear that, folks? Understand that the adopted child... Hey, who is that, Brother Joe? That is any person who's put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, that's me tonight, all right? Hey, I hope that's you tonight. By the way, if you've never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to take care of it tonight, all right? Get it done, all right? Don't wait. You can come up right now, man. We'll send somebody in the back with you, and we'll get it taken care of, all right? But understand that the adopted child has the same benefits as the only begotten Son of God. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Look at it. Don't take my word for it. Galatians chapter 4 verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant but a son, and if a son, well, come on now, look at what it says, then an heir of God through Christ. Hey, you know what I am? I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what that means? That anything that I need to accomplish God's will for my life, you know what? Hey, listen, folks, I can have it, all right? Anything that I need. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 says this, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. These benefits that we have are the exact same benefits the Lord Jesus Christ had when he walked here on earth as God's only begotten Son. We have access to everything the Lord Jesus Christ had access to. And you know what? That excites me, all right? These adopted kids, you know what? They had access to everything that Michael and Jenny had access to. I mean, listen, folks, we had everything. We had access to everything the Lord Jesus Christ had. You know what? What does that mean, Brother Gerald? That means, you know what? If you need comfort, run to the Lord. Run to your Heavenly Father. You know what you'll have? You'll have comfort waiting for you. You know what? If you need strength, feel like you can't make it another day, you know what? You run to your Heavenly Father. And you know what? You have access to all power and all strength. Yep. You know what? If you need wisdom, if any of you lack wisdom, let them ask of God the gift to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Yep. And it shall be given him. Yep. If you need wisdom, you know what? Run to him. You have access to every single thing. As an adopted son of God, you have access to every single thing the Lord Jesus Christ had access to. What a wonderful thought. Listen, folks, you know what? We were in need of a vehicle. Some of you guys know this. A few of you know this. We was in need of a vehicle. We was looking at different vehicles, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000. God said, nope, I don't want you to do that. You know what he did? He gave us a vehicle worth between $7,000 and $9,000, gave it to us. You know how much I paid for that vehicle? $52. $52. I think I can handle $52, Lord. I think I can take care of that. I mean, come on, folks. You want the Lord to bless you or not, man? I mean, come on. All right? Listen, folks, anything we need, you know what? We have it if it's in accordance with His will. All right? Number two, we have... Listen, folks, I mean, this is good. Number two, the adopted child is no longer under managers and guardians, but is free from bondage. Let me explain this. You might not understand that. The adopted child, number two, is no longer under managers and guardians, but is free from bondage. Look at our text passage again, Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors. Those two words, if you study them out, I did the work, you guys don't have to do anything, you trust me, all right? Those words interpreted are guardians and managers, all right? Until the time appointed of the Father, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. You guys understand tonight that, you know what, before we got saved, we were under the curse and the bondage of sin. You guys understand that? But you know what, since I'm the adopted child of God now, since my sins have been washed away, you know what, I'm no longer under the curse and the bondage of sin. You know what, I can live in victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, listen folks, before we got saved, we were controlled by sin, we were controlled by self. Satan was our master, the world was our master, the flesh was our master. But you know what, we were in bondage. Look at verse number 4. Then it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. When we were adopted by God, we were then made free from the curse of sin and free from the bondage of sin. I don't have to live under that curse anymore. I can live in victory. Gone, gone, gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. I no longer live with the guilt of my sin. I no longer live with the load of sin that I used to carry. I no longer live with the penalty of that sin weighing me down. I no longer live with the condemnation of death in hell because of my sin. You know what? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Listen, folks, you know what? I no longer live with the shame of my sin. I don't have to live with that. I no longer live under the curse of that sin because why? I am the adopted son of God and he has freed me from all of that bondage. What's the next benefit, Brother Gerald, being adopted son of God? Number 3, as an adopted child, we are the object of God's peculiar love. I'll take a drink for this one. Folks, I confess with you, I don't understand this one. I don't understand this one. But I want you to think about this. John chapter 17, verse 23. Listen to this verse. I mean, this is an unbelievable verse. John chapter 17, verse number 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Now listen now. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Think about that. You guys know what that means? If you let your mind wander when I was reading it, you know what that means? That means that, you know what? God in heaven loves you and I just as much as he loves his only begotten Son. I don't understand that. I mean, listen, folks, we who fail him so many times. Hey, Jesus Christ never failed him one time. Jesus Christ never disappointed his Father like I've disappointed mine. Listen, folks, we who fail him so many times. We who are so sinful and so vile and so wicked. We who transgress his commandments and his law so many times. We who are so unfaithful to him. We who are so unworthy of his love are the object of God's peculiar love. He loves us as much as he loves his only begotten Son. But not just that. You know what? He pours out that love to us on a daily basis and blesses us so much, doesn't he? What's the next benefit, Brother Gerald, being an adopted son of God? Number 4, I love this one. We're given the family name. We're given the family name. What does that mean, Brother Gerald? I'm a Christian, man. I'm a Christian. Hey, call it what you want. I'm a Christian, all right? That's what that means. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed on us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. That means, you know what? I can call myself a Christian. I can call myself a child of God. But not only that, you know what? I can call God in heaven my heavenly Father. Are you guys excited about this, man? This is awesome. Romans 8:15. Don't take my word for it. Here it is. Romans 8:15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what that means? Hey, if I've got a problem, I can go to my Heavenly Father. Hey, Heavenly Father, I got a need here. God, would you meet this need? And you know what? Our Heavenly Father will meet it for us. I can go to him and say, Heavenly Father. By the way, you know what? Unsaved people can't do that. Unsaved people can't call him a Heavenly Father. Hey, Julie, I got Julia back there, and Julia will call me Daddy. Hey, Daddy. Can I have some of your Mountain Dew? She loves Mountain Dew. 2 years old, hooked on Mountain Dew. I don't know where she got it from. there she is. Come back in the middle of preaching, all right? You already missed the hard stuff, I understand. But anyway. Listen, you know what? Julia calls me Daddy. You guys can't call me Daddy. If you did, I might have to meet you out back after the service. Listen, hey, this is funny. You guys will like this. The other day we was riding home, I think it was it Sunday a week ago or something? I don't know what it was. Days are running together. But anyway, we was riding home. He was taking some kids home in the van, and Matthew was one of the kids. I think he used to ride the bus here. Matthew did. But anyway, Matthew, he was in the back seat, and he's like, Pastor Gerald, Pastor. He's trying to get my attention, interrupting when I was talking and all that stuff like he normally does. But anyway, he's like, Pastor Gerald, Pastor Gerald. Well, Julia's sitting right behind me, and she goes, Pastor Daddy, Pastor Daddy. Almost wrecked our van. We were laughing. That was hilarious. But anyway, you know what? Listen, folks, you guys can't call me Daddy. You're not part of my family. Y'all will be laughing about that one later on when you're eating supper. That was pretty funny. I swear, man, kids will say the funniest things sometimes. But anyway, you know what? You guys can't call me Daddy, but she can. She's my daughter. She's part of my family. You know what? Listen, folks, when we get adopted, you know what? We can go to him and say, Father, I got a need here. Father, I need some help here. Would you take care of... You know what? Listen, folks, when I used to run to my daddy, I remember we used to have storms and stuff come through. And you know what? Listen, folks, I'd just run to the presence of my daddy. Daddy, Daddy, there's a storm coming. Daddy, I'm scared. And you know what? Man, I tell you what, man, my dad's got some big old arms. He'd take us and he'd give us a hug. You know, everything's okay. And I tell you what, number five, let me give this one. What's another benefit of adoption? What's another benefit, Brother Gerald, when we are the adopted son of God? We're given the family inheritance. I like this one. Hey, listen, folks. Your inheritance here on earth, you know what? It might have some money in it. Might have, you know, some estate or something. You know, some cars or guns or whatever. Guns are nice. I like guns. Your inheritance here on earth, you know what? It might have some things like that. But you know what our inheritance is as a part of the family of God? One word. Heaven. Says it all. Says it all, man. I mean, listen, folks, mansion up there, streets of gold, river crystal clear. Listen, walls of jasper, gates of pearl. Listen, man, the Lord Jesus Christ, eternal presence with the Father. I mean, listen, folks, loved ones who have gone on before us. I mean, listen, folks, heaven's going to be a wonderful thing. Listen to these verses. First, don't take my word for it. Here it is, Bible, telling you. Our inheritance is a place called heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy, by the way, folks, it was abundant mercy, hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Verse 4, don't miss this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Listen, folks, you know what? One word, heaven. Hey, Christian, can I remind you, once you are adopted into the family of God, you have an inheritance awaiting you in a place called heaven. Man, that ought to excite you right there. What a beautiful place it's going to be. Number six, let me give you this one. What's another benefit of being an adopted son of God, or daughter of God for those ladies in here? All right. Number six, we're given the family likeness. Romans chapter 8, verse 29, For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. One of these days I'll receive an incorruptible, glorified body that is conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number seven, let me give you this one. This is good too. Number seven, last one. The adopted child has constant, uninterrupted access to the Father through prayer. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, folks, you know what? Jeremiah 33:3, Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This may be my most favorite benefit of all. As God's child, I can go directly to the throne of grace, to my Father, and I can petition Him. By the way, listen, folks, you understand something? God in heaven wants to hear His children pray to Him. Yes, do you understand that? Listen, you know what? If Julia has a need, you know where I want her to go? To everybody else. I mean, who are we kidding, folks? Listen, you know what? I want her to come to me. I'm her daddy. I'm the one that's responsible for caring for her. I don't want her to run to everybody else unless she's wanting money. Hannah told me to say that. Sorry. I don't want her going to everybody else. Listen, you know what? He don't want us going to everybody else. He wants us running to Him. He's our Heavenly Father. Let that sink in, folks. He wants us going to Him. By the way, listen, you know what? When we run to Him, He's going to be on the phone talking. He's going to be busy. No, you know what? When we run to Him, did you get that statement back then? I don't know what it was. My wife wrote it down for me. There it is. Here we go. Constant uninterrupted access. Listen, you know what? When I run to Him, you know what? I got constant uninterrupted access. You know what? That means He is 100% focused on what I'm going through. 100% focused. You know what? Sometimes Julia comes to me. I'll be sitting there working. I'll be sitting there doing something. I'll say, Julia, Daddy's busy right now. Ain't that true, Dads? He never does that. Constant, 100% uninterrupted access when we go to Him in prayer. What a wonderful thing. Number four, let me give you this last thing here. Brother Gerald, what happens? What's this adoption thing? Well, we understand what it is now. I think we got a good grasp on that tonight. Number four, let me give you this. The responsibility of being an adopted child of God. There's no disputing the fact that adoption is a wonderful thing that happens when we get saved. As great a privilege as I think it is, and as I believe it is, I believe it comes with a holy responsibility. Amen. Yes, sir. Listen to this verse here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says this. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Without teaching through this whole passage here, there's several different applications you could have, but Paul writes here to these Ephesians and encourages them, if I can just go ahead and say it this way, he's encouraging these Christians to walk worthy of being called a Christian. Listen, folks, you know what? We're the children of God. Let's start acting like it. Listen, folks, we're good at receiving all of these benefits. Would you guys agree with that? We're good at receiving benefits. But you know what? When a rubber meets the road, you know what? We need to start acting like we're His child. We need to start showing the world, hey, you know what? I'm His child. I'm not ashamed of it, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of Him. Listen, folks, how many times do we go out into the world and act like we're ashamed of who our Father is? You know what? I can honestly say this. Not one time, in the 27 years I've been alive, not one time have I been ashamed that Gerald Clayton was my dad. In fact, you know what? I've been very, very proud. Listen, folks, you know what? The same thing is true with Him. You know what? I'm very, very proud to have the God of heaven as my Heavenly Father. I'm very proud. And you know what? Listen, folks, every single day I want to live like it. I want to live like I'm His child. I want to live like He's my Father. I heard this story. I'm going to tell you this story. We're going to close with it. It's a true story from back in the early 1900s. Many years ago in New York City, a beautiful young mother and her daughter lived in a small apartment. One day the mother went to the store and left the child home sleeping in her room. While the mother was gone and the child was sleeping, the building caught on fire. When the mother returned, she saw the building there in flames, and she immediately dashed inside the building, up the steps, into the room where her daughter was at, got her daughter up, wrapped her in blankets, and rushed out of the building. The baby was safe, the daughter was safe there, but in the process of rescuing her daughter, that mother was badly burned from head to toe. The mother spent many weeks in the hospital. Her face was burnt and marred beyond recognition. Her body was distorted from the intense flames. It melted her skin basically from head to toe. For many weeks, that mother hovered there in the hospital between life and death as at long last she recovered and was able to go home. When that mother got home, she asked for a mirror, and upon seeing herself in the glass with a face that looked so marred and horrible, she nearly fainted at the thought that she was going to have to go through the rest of her life looking the way that she did. She only had those thoughts for a few moments because she then found consolation by the fact that her baby girl would grow up someday and love her and appreciate her all the more for the scars and for the suffering that she went through. That daughter did grow up, and she became a very beautiful woman as far as the world was concerned. She even had a very good personality that was very attracted by a lot of people. She attracted a lot of people to her. Often she had great hosts of admirers following her around. One day, the mom and the daughter took a boat ride from from New York up the Hudson River. The daughter was on the front deck along with her throng of admirers and some young men that were clamoring for her attention. The mother was in the rear deck taking care of the daughter's hers and the daughter's coats and luggage. She finishes with her task back there and moves up to the front deck. As she passed by where the daughter was standing with her throng of admirers, she heard one of the young men ask the young girl, the daughter, she says, "Hey, do you?" Or the guy says, "Hey, do you know who that woman is?" And as that mother passed by, she heard that daughter say, "I have no idea who she is." Now listen, folks, the fact of the matter is, you know what? How many times do we have an opportunity when we're out through the week, maybe it's a stranger, maybe it's an acquaintance that we know, maybe it's a coworker. How many times do we have the opportunity to confess and to profess and to proclaim who our Father is? Yet how many times do we say, "I don't know who he is"? Brother Gerald, I've never said I don't know who he is. Yeah, you did by not saying anything. Ain't that the truth, folks? By keeping silent, you know what? It's just the same as saying, "I don't know who he is." Listen, folks, this week, you know what? This week, let's go out and live like we are the adopted children of God. Folks, listen, we are. If you've been saved, you know what? You have been adopted into God's family. Paul said here in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm so glad. Listen, folks, I'm so glad that when I got saved, you know what? I became part of the family of God. But you know what? Along with all the benefits, and man, I tell you what, we got some great benefits. Along with all the benefit, you know what, comes a very holy and a very high calling and responsibility. Let's be faithful to him this week. Ask these questions in closing. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Ask these questions in closing. Number one, have you been adopted into the family of God? Have you been adopted? Brother Gerald, I don't know for sure when I die. I don't know for sure I'm going to go to heaven. I've never put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know for sure that when I die I'm going to go to heaven. I've never done that before. Can I encourage you tonight? Put your faith and trust in him. Come up here and let one of the workers take you through the Bible. They'll show you, number one, that you're a sinner. They'll show you that you have committed sin in your life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They'll then show you that, you know what, your sin has to be paid for. That sin cannot go unpunished. They'll then show you how the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay that sin debt for you. They'll then show you that, you know what, if you put your faith and trust in him, you know what, he'll save your soul. The Lord Jesus Christ will save you and he'll take you to heaven when you die. Are you adopted into the family of God? Number two, if you are saved, if you've been adopted into the family of God, are you walking worthy of that calling tonight? Are you ashamed of them at work? Are you ashamed of them at school, young people? Are we walking worthy of that calling? Maybe it's been a while. Maybe you got a good witness. You know what? You witness and you try to be a light in the dark world. But you know what? Maybe it's been a while since you've come up to an old-fashioned altar, knelt down and said, "God, thank you for being my heavenly Father. God, thank you for adopting me into your family." Whatever the need is, I'm going to pray. Then Brother Roger's going to come. We're going to play a verse of invitation song. Whatever the need is, you come. Lord, I come to you tonight. Lord, thank you for this particular truth. Lord, I believe, Lord, we was able to be an encouragement, Lord, through this particular truth tonight. Lord, thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord, that encourages us. Lord, thank you that you, when we get saved, Lord, you put us a part of your family. Lord, you made us one of your children. And Lord, you give us so many benefits, but Lord, I pray that we would not be ashamed of you. Lord, I pray that every single person we meet this week, Lord, we'd say, "Hey, let me tell you about my Father. Let me tell you about my brother, Lord Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs with him." Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, and bless us in this invitation time. In Jesus' name, amen.